Before I share with you the reading from the Gospel of Luke, I will tell you that it's a reading for Eastertide. That is the Sundays after Easter, naturally. And the Eastertide season comes from the 40 days in Scripture in which Jesus appears physically to the disciples for 40 days. Now, you may say, 40 days, that's a familiar number. Isn't that the length of the season of Lent? It is, 40 days for Lent, 40 days that Jesus appears to the disciples. Are those literal numbers from Scripture or literal days? We don't really know, but we do know that 40 has always been, especially in that time and in the Jewish tradition, a traditional length of time for either a time of trial, Jesus goes out into the wilderness for 40 days, or a time of renewal, perhaps the 40 days that Jesus appears. Then Eastertide comes to its conclusion. There is the ascension of Jesus. And then there are 10 days that are sort of an interim, and we come to Pentecost. Penta is 5 or 50, so it's that Pentecost is the 50th day after Easter. So in this passage, which appears right near the end of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has just appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And if you're here on Easter Sunday, that was part of my Sunday Easter sermon, which talked about Jesus appearing as a stranger who joins them on the road to Emmaus. And in a gesture of hospitality, when they break bread together, they've invited him in. The stranger is revealed to be the Christ in their midst, and then he's gone. And then the very next story are these words from the Gospel of Luke. While the disciples were still talking about Emmaus, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. But Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they did not believe it because of joy and excitement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And Jesus took it and ate it in their presence. This ends the reading from the Gospel of Luke. May these words, which once transformed the disciples' hearts, transform our hearts as well. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be offered humbly and faithfully. Amen. Well, this is a story, a sermon with a familiar theme for a Sunday after Easter. As I said, I spoke of the theme already in an Easter sermon 2 weeks ago, but the theme is this: the living Christ, after the resurrection, returns to his disheartened disciples and consistently stands among them, almost always at first unrecognized, and often saying, as he does in the Gospel of Luke this morning and does in several other Gospels, when he appears before them, he says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Now, I'm also going to tell you that when I took a preaching class 37 years ago, one of the first things they tell you to not do is to sort of pull back the curtain on the sermon and reveal the conclusion at the beginning. Otherwise, why listen to the rest? I'm going to tell you nonetheless, here's the point of the sermon. These post-resurrection stories are about a belief that God wants to be with you. With you. I mean, not just with them, I mean the disciples, but with you. Eastertide is an affirmation that the love and mercy of the living Christ still comes and stands among us. In fact, it's a basis of our faith. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit takes over for the no longer physical appearances of Jesus. And it is a mystery of our faith that almost without exception, when Jesus is in the disciples' midst, they don't recognize him. So here is the challenge of Eastertide. Jesus comes to us as one unknown. Jesus came to those who even knew him best, at first unrecognized. Well, you probably already get it, right? The idea that the miracle of Easter is, of course, wonderful and a joyous day, but the bigger part of the story is about after Easter. The bigger part of the miracle is the now in our lives, because we believe that Christ continues to work in our lives. And remember, even the disciples seem to understand now in the Gospel of Luke that Easter's wonder was not simply about the tomb being empty, but Easter's miracle is Jesus being present once again. And you know, the idea of someone's presence can make all the difference. I mean, think about it this way. Imagine a couple standing before God and their family and friends and vowing in the covenant of marriage to love one another, to walk together in life for richer or poorer, in joy and in sorrow, whatever the future may hold. And then after making that audacious covenant, telling everyone, by the way, I don't think we're going to see much of each other going forward. We know how we feel about each other, so we don't have to be there. But relationships don't work that way. I mean, you and I both know that how someone feels isn't simply enough. To make a relationship with work, there has to be a presence. And maybe that's why the Gospels continue to marvel at the idea that the risen Christ is not simply raised from the empty tomb, but is now present to all those who walk in faith. And the Gospel of Luke says, then and now, he came and stood among them. And in the beautiful everydayness of the verses, the stranger, Jesus, asks his followers as they are about to have a meal, do you have something to eat? How mundane, how poignant, how beautiful. I said, I think last week, that phrase is even more sort of beautiful in the King James Version, though it feels very British. It says that Jesus asked the disciples, do ye have a piece of meat? And they offer him, and they share their meal. We can imagine, because many of the disciples were fishermen, maybe they were standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's kind of a rocky shore, and they built a little fire, and the coals had burned down but were hot, and they were broiling a couple of the fish they had just caught. And they offer him a piece, it says, of cooked fish. And Christ is revealed to them. His presence in a gesture of hospitality. Because I think it's true that it's difficult to really know someone without hoping that that person will continue to be present to you. I mean, you don't really know someone until you've strolled together on a beautiful spring day, or disagreed and interrupted one another over a meal. There is a sense that you don't really know a person until you're willing to be open to their presence. And I think that's exactly what Eastertide is about. Eastertide asks of us, are we willing to experience God's love and justice made flesh in Jesus? I will be present to you, God seems to be saying. Maybe not present in exactly the way I was before, but because of Easter, I remain close to you. And Luke, in those beautiful, simple words, says that God came and stood among us. Over the years, you've heard me cite statistics about the decline of the church in America and the growing secular tendencies of our nation. I won't go over all the grim statistics that point to this conclusion, that if you extrapolate it out, in about 20 to 25 years, One half of all Protestant churches in America will close. I understand that this church will look different in the years to come and will look different 25 years from now, but I'm also certain of this, that the presence of Christ will continue to be revealed in strange and surprising ways. Some churches won't exist in 25 years, but the gift of the risen Christ will continue to come to this world, but it will continue to come to us at first as one unknown, which is a really hopeful thing to remember, in particular in this church. It is a witness to our church's long support and work with ministries that show welcome and hospitality, like the Beds program, which helps the unhoused, like our 35 years of refugee resettlement, or like how we continue to show welcome and hospitality to migrants. These ministries remind me of a passage from the New Testament letter to the Hebrews that reads, "Always show kindness to the stranger, because you never know when you might, without knowing it, welcome an angel." Jesus came to them as one unknown. Jesus continues to come to us at first as one unknown. So I'm proud of our history of Christian hospitality, and I think it represents the heart of our faith, but I also believe it represents the hope of our future. That Jesus not only has come, but will continue to come and stand among us. And I'm grateful that our congregation seeks to be a congregation that lives into a kind, welcoming, and hospitable way. Because really, there is no future for any church unless we are open to the opportunity for the risen Christ to come and stand among us, and to be willing to hear in the stranger the question that Jesus asks of disciples of every century: do you have any food to share? The church that shows hospitality to the stranger, that embraces service to others, will always thrive. It will always thrive because it will always be open to meeting the risen Christ in our midst. And time again, by the grace of God, Jesus' promise, "I will be with you always," is fulfilled in our life together. And just when you maybe think God has disappeared, or just when you think you're barely hanging on by a thread, the risen Christ comes and stands among you. And that, my friends, and thank God, that is the future of the church. May it be so.